Welcome to Vacation Station, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey everybody, this is Lisa Nancy with Big Blend Radio, and we are in one of our favorite spots in the state of New Mexico. When we talk about Land of Enchantment, Bear Mountain Lodge is definitely a destination if you love nature, being out in the wilderness, but having really lovely accommodations.
Absolutely.
And delicious breakfast.
Yes.
And if you love art, so basically you should be here, and we are, and you're not right now, so nanny. I'm just kidding. We really hope you come here. No. We've got Jeffrey Brown sitting with us, and Jeffrey, we've had such an amazing time already. You know, just one quick night and full breakfast, and we have another night tonight, so we're lucky.
And you have a whole day.
I know, yeah. All day in Silver City.
We're so glad you're here.
Well, thank you. And this is really unique. Every time it's been 8 years since we've been here, so I know that's really wrong, but we've been all over the place, so it's
You've
really
been
good.
Busy.
We've been busy, yeah. But coming back to the lodge, it's just really, it's just the same comfort. It's like you can rely on your experience, except for there's always something new. There's new art all over the property. Mm-hmm. But this is really, truly unique and something we've not experienced in America so far, is we are sitting outside your newest accommodation, and we're surrounded by trees and mountain views. And so we're basically in a little slice of Mongolia in Silver City, New Mexico. And we're sitting outside the gear. I'll get there. The gear.
It's hard to remember that.
I know. I was going to say gree for some reason. Yeah. What's a gree?
I don't know.
You're thinking of ghee, is Mongolian butter or something like that.
Ghee is clarified butter, to clarify that. Okay. So what is the story behind the gear?
About 2 years ago, one of my partners, Linda Brewer, she took a trip to Mongolia to go horseback riding. And she went there, made a lot of friends, spent a few weeks just there riding horses and being out in the wilderness. In the photos, Mongolia in the summer, at least, is not dissimilar from what we have here. And so she felt very comfortable there. She made a lot of friends. And two of them became really good friends, and they've come a few times to visit us and stay with us here. And we had a big discussion, and we thought it'd be a great idea for them to come and help us. And we'd import an actual gear from Mongolia.
Wow.
And then put it together here for guests to have the opportunity to see, but also, if you'd like to stay in it.
So it's like a yurt from Mongolia.
Right.
We've all seen these on National Geographic.
Exactly.
I mean, this is authentic. I mean, the painting,
everything. I mean, it's just. It's been a work of love for Linda, and she's just paid attention to every detail. And it has a fabulous little restroom, bathroom, shower area all of its own.
It's private. We're in the private garden. I said, you've got the trees around you, but this is like glamping.
Yeah, exactly.
It's glamping.
Exactly.
It's a unique glamping experience.
Except you're in the States and you feel like you're not, which is cool.
Yeah, it's the Bear Mountain Lodge version.
Mongolia. Well, and you've got horses here.
You're not far across from the horses.
Yes, then you've got the prayer flags.
And you're on a trail that leads you up to one of our big art installations called the Million Bones.
Yes, we need to talk about the Million Bones because I remember a conversation about it right as you were about to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something, I think it's amazing that you've brought it here, and so that it's people can be part of the experience and learn what this is all about. This is really about acknowledging all those who have died in genocides, in killing, there's like the mass grave in Rwanda,
right?
Genocide as a whole. So this is basically people created bones. They made ceramic bones.
They come from every state in the U.S. and 27 other countries worldwide. And two ladies out of Albuquerque actually came up with this idea, And you can go on the internet and look up the Million Bones Project, and there's detailed information on it. And Linda and her partner, John, mm-hmm. were in Albuquerque, and they went to a lecture on the Million Bones when they were up there. And it was just the perfect moment, perfect time, because at the end of the lecture on the Million Bones and how it was created and the nature of it and the reasoning behind it, someone asked from the audience, well, where can we see it? And it had been on display in different places around the U.S. It had been on the Mall in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Hmm. And so it was well known, but it was in storage. And no one could see it. And they didn't have, they said they'd never been able to find the right place for it to have a permanent home. And so...
How many acres do you have?
178 acres.
So this could be the perfect place?
And so they invited the ladies to come down, take a visit, and see what they thought. And they found the perfect place and decided we should be the permanent home.
That's so exciting, man.
And it was so, cool. It was so interesting because there's so many... You don't realize how many million bones are until you see them come in on flatbed semi-trucks.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
It was huge. Yeah. I mean, absolutely huge. And we still have a few left.
That's emotional, though, to me. Oh. It's when you, because they represent every person.
What you're actually feeling from the bones, because a lot of love and concentration went into making these bones. Mm-hmm. So each one of them has power of its own. And then you have a million of them, and it's just amazing. If you go up and actually view it on the hill, it just takes your breath away.
Yeah.
It makes you think deeply down inside how hard life can be and how beautiful life can be at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? And so we were very fortunate. It was just the perfect coming together. Mm. And the entire city of Silver City was invited to come up and help put the bones out and display them. And they came out. And they took a million bones up onto the hills. The population came up over and over and over and again. We had children, we had schools, we had the university, we had local populace, we had the Horsemen came up, which is this great group who do lots of work up here for everybody and help maintain the trails and everything. And they helped a lot. They were on horseback, and they were just taking lots and lots. And then our guests, who were lovely, of course, they came up, and we have backpacks, and they can take them up on the backpacks. And put them
because
out.
You have these trails, so this is one of the windmill trails.
This is the part of the windmill trail, which is our longest trail. And we have a lot of art along that trail.
Mm-hmm.
We have the big installation, and then we have the cat.
Oh, we love the cat.
The cat.
We were here when the cat was just unveiled.
That's right.
But you also have like a little meditation area.
Meditation. Mm-hmm.
So this is really a place of reflection, contemplation, getting back to your roots through nature and art. You can't, and history.
And history.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of history here. Mm-hmm. You know, forever. You know, this area, you figure the native populations were here for a long time and we're unearthing all the time. People are unearthing potsherds and things. Of course, no one collects them like they used to anymore, just randomly taking them. But, you know, they're here.
Yeah, and you're connected to the forest, the Gila National Forest.
Yes, we're surrounded by 3.5 million acres.
Wow.
Of the National Forest.
See, this is when I go, nanny, nanny, nanny. You guys got to come out here because, you know, people still want a social distance and for good reason. So there's room here.
There's room for it.
And even the way the lodge is set up, like we were in the Myra's Retreat. So, you know, it's so peaceful. Neither one of, and there, it was monsoon rain last night, and Nancy and I were just, had a glass of wine and went, no, we don't even want to do our computers. We turn those off. It's rude. It's rude to the rain.
You know, we should love the rain.
We should just love the rain and just, you know, we did a rain dance about a month ago and apparently it's been working.
It's working.
It's working.
Yes.
I said, whatever everyone was doing yesterday, do it again
Yes,
today.
And another one.
We'll just keep doing it.
It's a good dance.
It's a beautiful dance. Don't know if you want to see it, but it did work. But
it goes with wine.
It does go with wine.
Everything goes with wine.
Yes. But I mean, there's so many acres and so there's, how many trails do you have again here?
We have three separate trails.
Okay.
One is flat, and it's a great morning trail because it's kind of a birding trail.
Oh, we like that.
And we call it Sunrise Trail. Mm-hmm. Then there's one near it that goes up higher, and it's also shorter. And so you get a lot of great views from there that normally you wouldn't see. And then the Windmill Trail is our longest and our highest. And that one takes anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half to complete. But most people spend more time because we have the cat up there. We have contemplation areas. We actually call it Contemplation Point.
Oh, I like that. Yes.
You know,
beautiful views up there.
You know, and there's just so much to see. And then a lot of people just wander the property because we have outdoor sculpture placed around the property that's integral to what's going on here. And it's just been wonderful for us.
But it's also like a living art gallery. And I say it's living because in your rooms, I'm like, the paintings are for sale. You've got art throughout the rooms. You've got an art gallery inside the lodge.
And we
Linda's
have
art.
Linda's
an amazing
downtown
artist. She's got that downtown. Oh, I saw that. You guys.
It just reopened.
Yeah, we need to go try and take a peek while we're out there. You've got a gallery, but you have lodging downtown too, right?
Yes, we have a room downtown that's very much laid out like a New York loft. It's very large. It's cool. It has, you know, a state-of-the-art bathroom, and then but it's in this one of the oldest buildings in Silver City.
Listen, downtown. Silver City, the downtown of Silver City, is when you think of a thriving, real downtown. Silver City's on the top of the list of just charm, history. You got the old theaters, the shops, the gallery. I mean, it's an art community. But it's the rest. You guys have good restaurants. Silver City rocks. It's so good to be back.
Yes.
You know, and the nice thing about our downtown is I grew up in the West, so I very much experienced everything from urban renewal and all this thing. Well, that never happened in Silver City. So you have buildings and homes from every generation.
Which is that's what I love about the buildings.
Yeah, so interesting.
You've got those old red brick ones.
You have almost Victorian all the way through the 50s, and the
awesome.
I mean, it's, and they all are beautiful together. There's beautiful.
That's great.
I want to go to the Big Ditch today.
And the Big Ditch should be glorious.
It should be beautiful after the rain.
Oh my God!
It's going to help.
And listen, this is some women's history. Women's history. You've got Madame Millie.
Yes.
Oh yes, Madame Millie.
Yes.
We'll never forget her.
Madame Millie.
She made a big impression on this town.
Oh yes, so
she
was.
She still is.
She was the Madame of Silver City. Don't forget mining town history. But
she was an entrepreneur.
She was an entrepreneur, but she also raised money for kids.
Yes.
She was really an awesome. There's awesome books about her. But you have Billy the Kid history. So
right.
But
and his mother's buried around Silver City.
Oh really?
She's here.
And we
just
went to his burial site.
Right.
Do you know people stole his grave?
Yeah.
No, I had no idea.
So we went to his graveyard, his burial site. It's south of, it's near Cloudcroft, New Mexico.
I think.
And we went there. We just happened to be driving. We're like, turn around. There's a graveyard.
Billy the Kid thing.
And it's outside of Big Monument. And I'm really sorry for not remembering right off my head. But, anyway, it is, it's really, talk about it. It's an area that, it's a fort, an old fort area. And Fort Sumter.
Yes.
And then it's an area that you also think about, war and that. So it's contemplative. Let's put another part
another
of that.
One.
Yeah, Billy the Kid's gravesite is in an historic graveyard, and when you go read the plaque, it talks about how they had to bring it back because somebody took it, and so there's this history of that. And I need to reread all of it, but people stole his grave, and
can
now he's back.
Can you imagine what bad karma you must have if you did something
plucking
like that?
Out Billy the Kid.
Oh my God. Dude, he's got pistols in the sky, man. But also,
are you digging up there?
I know. But now I want to go back to the Big Ditch because I was reading about it because I think Big Ditch Park is on our website of the Love Your Park Tour. And I didn't realize this, but it was a woman engineer who did the Big Ditch to save the town from flooding.
You know, because originally, right along the Big Ditch was Main Street.
Yes.
And this huge, there was a period of time, as in so many places, where there were too many cattle, too much grazing, too much mining. And then the 100-year flood decided to come.
Yes.
And it came downtown through this little creek that used to run right by Main Street. And it took Main Street, and it took all the buildings facing Main Street down.
Mommy Nature, everyone,
and seeing it took a woman to come in and
say, a woman had to come and save it. You know, because everyone else was just going, "What are we going to do?"
And she was like, "No, no." And so it was a woman engineer.
We're going to make lemonade.
But wasn't this in the 1800s, the late 1800s, early? I mean, you got to think about
turn of the century.
Yeah, turn of the century. A woman saying, "No, we're going to engineer this." It's like you didn't really hear about women engineers at that time.
Oh, I know.
So this is cool history. I think.
I mean, there's so much wonderful history because there's, and Silver City seems to attract people who are interested in helping. Period.
It's definitely just community. General,
just community.
Yeah, just even all the events and everything. Like you've got the Members Arts Council, and is it the largest blues fest, free blues fest in the country?
In the country.
But you've got all of these organizations, and it always seems that they're all helping each other since we, you know, over the years, you know. So everyone, you've got to come out here. But I'm going to come back to Bear Mountain Lodge.
Oh, I know.
We got to. I digress.
I know. There's so much to talk about and so much to do.
I know.
And we're barely touching it.
But Bear Mountain Lodge. So you do have bear out
here. Oh yeah, we have bears.
See,
not. I mean, we're not overrun.
No, you don't worry. They're not going to. You know, as you drive through the gate and close the gate on your way in and out, you're not going to. It's not a wild animal safari.
Right.
But you can hear a lot of birds and sometimes coyotes
and many, many, many deer. I mean, we have hundreds and hundreds of deer.
That's awesome.
Cool. And we have hundreds of different species of birds.
It's incredible.
Because Myra McCormick owned the property from the 1950s until she willed it to the Nature Conservancy in the 90s, and she turned it into a destination birding retreat. And people would come here for the birding, and she created this haven for birds. And so now it's on their national yearly truck. Because we're kind of up high enough that we're part of what's called the Sky Islands.
Right.
And so we attract, because we have more water, we have cooler temperatures, more trees, we attract many animals and birds. They travel from peak to peak.
That's
So we have lots of hummingbirds in the summer.
Oh, and listen, sitting out for breakfast on the deck, and here the hummingbirds are zooming over your head.
They're
checking
out breakfast.
I don't think you want to eat my eggs, but we do have fruit.
And speaking of women, Myra McCormick, during a time where it was fairly unusual, she spearheaded creating this property. She took it on, recreated it, marketed it, and made it very successful. And she's, and her name is Myra McCormick.
And so a lot of the property, you see her name. And
right.
So she created this, and then the Nature gave it to the Nature Conservancy.
Gave it to the Nature Conservancy.
And then you guys took it over.
And they operated it for about a decade.
Uh-huh.
And then they decided that it was time, because they did a lot of restoration work on the property and the building. And they decided it was at a point, if they could find a group of people or a person who would take care of it. That they could allow it to be
the
sold.
The stewards,
You know, and Myra, actually, she wasn't the first owner. It was built in 1928, and it was built as a school for boys who were troubled.
Oh, that's so cool to be out here in nature, though.
Exactly.
For the kids, you know?
And it was built by a woman whose family had a very large ranch, and this was part of the property. And a gentleman who was a doctor from Germany, and he shared quarters with Freud. And the he read about her, because she was a trained nurse, and wrote papers. She was very, very brilliant. And he saw that she took a young boy who was very troubled. The family took him in, and they worked with him and worked with him, and they'd had no success anywhere else. He totally turned around and transferred into a wonderful young man.
Wow.
And she wrote a paper on it. And this doctor read it, and he wanted to find out what she'd done, because that was one of his interests. And he got out here, and they hit it off, shall we say, and they got married.
Ooh, built-in business.
And they built the building that became the school.
Wow. So that's the original lodge.
The actual lodge.
Because it's also done so very southwestern, you know, adobe style. It is definitely a lodge, you know.
Definitely a lodge.
But it's a beautiful building.
And then the building behind, that's out furthest near the corrals, that was called the coop. Because it was an old chicken coop that was made into like a house.
Okay.
And then Myra's Retreat is the second building where you guys are staying. Mm. That was Myra's home for a while.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
And then that was changed over into 4 bedrooms, 4 baths with a central living room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's evolved. And because in between the time it was the school, then it was sold at a certain period of time to a count and countess.
Mm.
Who came from Europe.
Wow.
And then it was sold, it became the country club. It had many, many uses, you know. So.
Well, it's such an amazing property. And you're not far from Silver City, but you feel like you are out in nature. You feel like if you live downtown Silver City, you could take a vacation here.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because downtown's really kind of fun and bustling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you get out here and it's only 10 minutes away and we're surrounded by these millions of acres.
And this is very spiritual, you know, and you've managed to keep that, which is really great.
It's good for your soul. Yeah. Nancy, you and I both just went, we became like jelly.
It's amazing because
speak for yourself.
Because you know, whenever when you're traveling, you never know exactly what you're going to experience. Mm-hmm. But the general reaction is when people get here, they stop and they just go.
Yeah,
it's quiet. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's tranquil.
Yeah, and you can meet other people here too. Right. So it's like, I think you know, the first 2 days it's you calm. Just stay here.
Mm, pretty much.
And then go out, because you do want to go out and see Silver City.
Right.
And the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument.
Definitely.
The Gila Wilderness.
The catwalk.
So I would say, I mean, you could stay here probably for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Do you do long-term stays like that?
Yes, definitely.
Because I would say you've got all the art, and it's not just Silver City, it's Grant County. I mean, they have their studio tours that they do in October,
right,
I believe.
In October.
And if
and
you look at that, it's everywhere.
It's going to be the Clay Fest.
Oh, the Clay Festival every year. And that really goes with the heritage of the earth.
Right.
And the Native American heritage. Oh, and then the Membres Pottery Collection.
Exactly.
Oh, and Membres.
Oh, my God.
The pottery collection is
That's in downtown
area. You talk about taking your breath away. Mm-hmm. And it's so spiritual. It's almost.
The whole area is.
Yeah, it is. It's sacred land.
It's you know, you go in and you look at the Membres pottery, and you can almost feel the people. It's so contemporary, even though it's so old.
But that's the I feel like that Silver City, I mean, I can't say of yesterday, but of today, like over the last few, we've been covering this for almost 20 years, now. It has a... It's a very mixed group of people, very diverse, that make up the community, but everyone has a respect for the indigenous history and the people of today as well, because you've got also your Mexican families here, your Native American, you know, it's so diverse, and then you've got ranching history, you got mining history, you've got a mine, you know.
And the mine, as much as, I mean, some people don't like the mines, but you go and look at it, and
it's fascinating.
It is in it is in the true meaning of the word awe.
Mm.
It puts you in awe because it's just
like that's how the earth is
so powerful.
Yeah. You know? We saw it on our way in.
It really helped to understand the earth.
Right.
Yeah.
The
so
earth.
There's positives to that.
Well, I think a lot of people who are into geology and rock climbing come out here too.
Huge, huge amount.
Yeah, because all the trails and all the art, it's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is a long history of this property. What led you to come here and be part of this?
Actually, I had been coming. I grew up in Tucson, Arizona.
On the corner.
And so it's so close.
Oh, by the way, it's nice and cool for those living.
Oh, gosh, compared to Tucson.
Well, and listen, so Tucson is cooler than Phoenix, so if you're in, you just got to come here.
You know, because it's generally 10 to 15 degrees cooler here than it is in Tucson.
Which means 30 degrees cooler than Phoenix.
Than Phoenix, right.
Mm.
And the nights, of course, always go way down.
Beautiful.
You know?
Oh, it's beautiful. Mm. You don't even need air conditioning here.
You know, and a lot of people... sometimes you can actually come here and not leave because we offer dinners.
Yeah, I saw
lunches,
that. You do dinner.
We provide breakfast.
You
with
said
the room,
backpacks. Listen. And,
right?
Okay, now listen. You got to get the Portofino backpacks.
I know. That's
you see,
I just love that.
You've got it because I'll show you. Yes. I'll show you our other ones for hiking. You put your wine in there, keep your sandwiches. So would you
that's
do like...
That's an amazing idea.
And
it's,
we have a designer handbag.
Designer, that's it's, mine, it's, that's mine.
No,
there.
The red and white stripe.
Oh, yeah, we got... We got
oh, my God.
We've got all
really?
Tote bags.
One that's really
beach
for
bags.
The beach. And...
Listen, I always said that if we ever don't do magazine radio stuff, I'm just going to go sell Portofino bags.
I don't know.
Across the country. I do demonstrations. I love them.
And I think the motto is have wine, we'll travel.
We always have wine. So if you ever pull us over, don't look.
Yeah.
But we will share.
You know, what is it, the old saying? Don't wine, have wine.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, no, listen, we love getting out into nature. And I used to carry champagne in the backpack. And just, you know, the bottle of champagne. And if we had a friend, I'd have two bottles. And then you start sweating, you know, like in Tucson, we used to do this a lot with our friend Rondi. And she would go, you guys really hike with champagne. I'm like, yeah, why do we always have to have the healthy stuff? This you're out in nature, sit and have a nice lunch and, you know.
Have
so
wine.
And so we'd have champagne everywhere. We've had it all over, all over, and hummingbirds come.
Yeah, all,
birds, white wine and champagne
and butterflies
is like
and butterflies.
They come out.
Mm.
So we had them. We reviewed one of their tote bags for Portofino, and I was just like, you know, why can't someone make something like that for us backpacking? Everybody thinks you shouldn't do that. They made a backpack. And so then we're like, you have
that's
to come on a radio show.
Yeah,
so it's a couple, Marisa and Gunnar, and he's from South Africa, and they came on the show, and I'm like, this is the best invention on the planet, the backpack, the actual backpack. So our car is full of Portofino bags, because I can't, you know, we just, everything goes in them.
And it makes total sense.
And it keeps your wine cold, and so you can go hike up, and it'll stay cold. We've managed to keep things cold for like a full day and night. So there's my plug for them, Portofino.
No, that's great.
Check it out. But anyway, if you're going to go back, you know, you could just take your wine and you do the lunch.
We do lunches that you can take with you.
Yeah.
So as
gonna,
well as
and we're not going to get arrested for having wine up on Windmill Point.
No, of course.
Contemplation Point.
Contemplation Point.
It's a perfect place.
You know.
See?
Oh
you
my
can
gosh.
Contemplate it.
Absolutely.
You can contemplate your whole life.
Right.
While you're having some great wine.
Right.
With friends and nature.
In nature.
I mean, it's full circle.
It is cool.
It's supposed to be that way.
One thing I wanted to ask, do you do group events here or weddings or?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We've done many weddings. We do quite a few retreats, and they start off as family, but now we do a lot of friend retreats.
Oh,
people
like groups.
Come with all their friends.
Okay.
And just stay.
Oh,
and they,
wow.
And they can take over like the whole property if they wish.
Oh, you know? I like that.
Some and we have the separate buildings, so you can also just take over one building or something, and it's just yours to play with.
Do you get families here, or is it mostly adults coming?
Primarily, we're adults, but we've been getting families as well.
Okay.
You know, I think everyone, it's once you've been here, you kind of become part of our family.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's been, even during the difficult times, you know, which
COVID,
we all know we've gone through the COVID and the... People really love it, and they support us, which is very important to us because it's made us... be able to still be here.
Well, it's a huge property to take care of.
Yeah.
You know. And for years our sign said welcome home.
Mm, I like
and
that.
And that's why we like people to feel like they've just arrived home again.
Yeah, it does feel good to drive back up here, you know. It's like oh, we're here.
And you can just let the world go and you're home.
So you used to come here a lot?
Oh, yes. For years and years and years, and Janet is an excellent potter. She has a piece up in Santa Fe.
Okay.
In the government building where they display all the pieces they picked.
Yeah, we've been in there, in the Capitol building.
In the Capitol
incredible,
building.
Incredible.
And so she's a great potter, and she knows a lot of great potters, obviously. And my partner, John, is a potter.
Oh, so this is a pottery connection.
And so we all became friends because John was the head of the crafts gallery at the Tucson Museum of Art for 41 years.
Oh.
And so he selected the works that came in.
Oh, wow.
And then twice a year, he had these large outdoor events, which they would bring in artists. And Janet came, and we all connected, and we all became great friends, you know. And then we had a third connection of Janet Berner, who's another fabulous potter, and she comes up here all the time. So everyone started coming up for the Clay Fest.
Right.
And down for the shows, and we all became big friends, and we had an opportunity to connect with this property.
And
so we all went, oh, of course.
Cool.
That's awesome. And then we've got Linda and her art.
Linda and her art. John's art.
So, yeah. Wow. Hmm. Art and nature and history all connect here. I love it.
And we have several friends who are involved. We have another partner in Albuquerque and two more in San Antonio.
Wow. So this is like the Western hub.
You know, and when you look at it, we draw a lot from Arizona, Texas, Colorado.
Sure. Oh, I bet.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because when it's, people like just the difference of coming up here. It's a change, you know. Mm-hmm. The weather can be different. That's part of it. But sometimes people just want a different view.
Well, a lot of life. You know, I know a lot of people go from Northern California to the desert and vice versa.
Right.
Just for that change, you know. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, this is awesome to be here. And now we're going to go, you know, back east.
I know, that'll be interesting.
Yes, I'll call you and say, yes, we're blowing away.
What's going on?
With Elsa.
Because you're going right into the hurricane.
I know. It's like, we're just going to be storm chasers.
You are brave,
chasers.
I know. Brave ladies.
I know,
brave.
But you know, we've done part of that route during a hurricane last year this time. We were driving from Natchitoches, Louisiana to Tampa and had to skirt through a hurricane at that time. And it was really rainy, and then we got to Alabama, stopped at a rest area, and played with cats.
Yes.
And drank wine. Don't
tell
anyone.
Oh, how wonderful.
All the Alabama rest areas have cats.
Yeah, I think there was 29 cats or something.
They have cats.
And they live okay there.
Yeah. They're rehabilitating. You're not allowed to feed them or really touch them.
Right.
So somebody has obviously done some kind of drop them off. And so they, you know, they have signs up now over the last few that we went to saying don't feed the cats. We're taking care of them, and we're getting them, you know, healthy,
neutered,
spayed,
and
yeah.
So it's kind of a interesting thing, but it was like, oh, there's kittens.
So if you go at night and you settle down and just be quiet and calm and look around, you see all these eyeballs looking at you. It's kind of cool,
and they play and everything. So yeah, it was neat. It was kind of interesting. But we're kind of familiar with the hurricane situation.
It's like, you know.
And I think we're going to be, we don't go right into Tampa, which we have some friends currently sitting in their hallway drinking their wine, wondering if they're going to blow away. I hope not.
I don't think
it's a very strong hurricane.
Yeah, it sounds to me like
it's more tropical storm.
It's more tropical.
Mm-hmm. That's because they're starting to name them after men.
Well, no, this one is named Elsa.
Yeah.
This is Elsa.
I think pretty soon they're going to start using male names because they ran out of women names.
I don't know, but Elsa's a female, so we're at the beginning.
Yeah, you know.
Well, female. See, there it is. But so website for everyone, it's bearmountainlodge.com.
Very good.
See, how about that?
All one word.
Gee, you guys have to come out here. If you go to New Mexico, you want, this is really, you know, there's that hashtag New Mexico True.
Yeah.
And Bear Mountain Lodge is definitely that. And this property is just incredible. And we all need some solitude and some peace and some joy. And this has it here. So thank you.
Oh, well, no, thank you so much for coming up here.
And I want to stay in the Mongolian
gear. I want you to be here longer.
We do too. We want to play longer.
Yeah.
And we need to take a wine picnic. We're going to have to. We have to
get some wine.
We'll have to do a second go around.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.